This is the day the Lord has made. The text for this Transfiguration of our Lord Sunday is Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. You're invited to be seated. I must admit that most Lutheran pastors I know have really a kind of a sick and macabre love for today's reading. It's because it's very naked and very honest. Because as the gospel opens, we see Peter and James really having a problem. They just don't know what to do with Jesus. Jesus brought them up to the mountain, literally. And more than that, he displays utter and total truth to them. You want to know who I am? Here, look. Here I am, transfigured right before your eyes. I am revealing myself to you. No more wondering, am I God? Yes. Am I the Savior you have been promised since the days of old? Yes. Don't believe me? Well, guess what? I'm ready to answer you in the way that Jewish law requires. I have brought with me three witnesses. Three witnesses who can speak with authority. And these are people you know. These aren't just strangers pulled out of a crowd. So he says, first I present to you Moses. At a time when Israel languished under the cruel hand of the Pharaoh who will be remembered, ironically, for forgetting Joseph, and forgetting the God whom Joseph trusted in and was faithful to answer their suffering, God spoke to the great prophet who led our people out of captivity and Egyptian slavery and brought us to the very entrance of the promised land. He ushered in the rise of Israel. Remember him? He's a pretty good witness, right? But wait, there's more. With me also is Elijah. Do we remember Elijah? After the death of King David, after Solomon forsook God's wisdom in favor of his own understanding, after Rehoboam decided that ruling from a place of God's grace and mercy was no longer his first call, after Israel was split in half, when the place of blessing became just one more secular nation fighting for secular power, God did something to answer their spiritual suffering. God sent them Elijah. And after the building of the temple, Elijah would remind Israel of the importance of proper worship and to flee from worshiping anybody but God. God alone is it. Remember him? They're like, yeah. Another amazing witness, right? This is really they're going to their first stringers here. Now finally, we're going to save the best for last. You have the Father himself literally speaking to you from heaven saying, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Pretty amazing witness, right? Of course, as I said earlier, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do with Jesus now. In Matthew's gospel, he points out, man, they hit the deck. They fell down. And then Matthew and Luke really kind of, well, in Mark's gospel, he tells them, don't say anything until after I'm raised from the dead. And the disciples, Mark points out, were like, I wonder what the significance of the resurrection is. I know. So you see why Lutheran pastors just get all gooey over this? And then Luke and Matthew point out something really interesting, too. We know who we're looking at. We're looking at Elijah and Moses, the prophets that deal with apostasy, the prophets that deal with false idols and worshiping the wrong people. And what do? They go, well, here's what we got to do. The disciples don't know what to do with Jesus either. Well, notice they sort of took Elijah's route, right? And quickly thought it was a good idea to set up temples for Jesus, which is good, you're fine. And also for Elijah and Moses, which as Elijah and Moses, after the whole Aaron and the golden calf thing, would both have been quick to tell the disciples, stop, don't do that. And focus on Jesus. Don't get distracted with other stuff. Of course, this is not the only example of people just not knowing what to do with Jesus, right? We'll remember St. Peter making his wonderful confession of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was great. That was a win in Peter's column. What wasn't great was when St. Peter was faced with the problem of Jesus. Now Jesus says, okay, what do we do with him? Jesus says, well, I'm going to go into Jerusalem and get crucified. And to this, St. Peter was like, that's really not going to work for me. I want you to stay here. To which he is quickly referred to as Satan. So I guess step one should be, when Jesus says one thing, don't do the opposite. Let's agree on that. Another good reason to have Elijah and Moses present. They know what whiny unfaithfulness looks like. They've seen it, and even Moses not only remembers the golden calf incident that Aaron was involved in, but Moses too had his own incident concerning a staff, a rock, some water. Well, best witnesses ever. So in 2022, I'm going to tell you, we have the exact same problem. Heck, ever since I became a Christian in 1992, coming on 30 years, I've always seen and experienced the same thing. People have no idea what to do with Jesus. I see this happening really in two big ways, some of which I've been guilty of myself. Some people say, this is what I'm going to do with Jesus. I'm going to use him to make a lot of money. Whether it's selling indulgences or even selling an actual water from the Jordan River because it's holier than other waters. Or doing all manner of blasphemous things in the name of calling it social justice. And any other lies people have told themselves and others to justify using Jesus to do the Lord's work. They pretty much take the Moses and Aaron route. They're pretending to be faithful, but in fact they are practicing idolatry. Then there's the other side of the coin. The people who don't know what to do with Jesus. They know they're supposed to be doing something with him, and they just can't figure it out. So after a while, they become overwhelmed. They become overwhelmed, and eventually they settle on relegating Jesus to be a kind of a spiritual Jiminy Cricket. And they sort of tell people they are Christians, but in reality, they have closed themselves off from the Christian life. And they just kind of tell themselves, well, I'm a good person. But they tend to look like the congregation Elijah had, remember? People trying to live off their Jewish merits. But we're only kidding themselves. They were ultimately just being idolatrous. So what's the answer? You might be saying, Pastor Hoffman, do you know the answer? Let me take a stab at it. I think I got it, maybe. The answer is stop trying to do stuff with Jesus. You heard me. Stop trying to create new and interesting ways to do Jesus. Truth be told, there's not many things you can actually do with Jesus. But though they are few, don't confuse them with not being important. In fact, you'll find that from the beginning, Jesus has been doing stuff with you and for you. It begins with him calling you by the gospel and baptizing you, forgiving you, making you his. It's after this miracle that we see what he has called us to do with him. First, he says, worship me, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, Hebrews 10:25. And second, for those who discern his body and blood, he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Take and eat, take and drink. This is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. For such an emphasis that Jesus has placed on these things, it sure seems like they're the first things people give up on. The pandemic isn't the reason. It's the newest reason, but it isn't the reason. This was happening long before the pandemic. No people have been practicing idolatry for a long time. And for those people, I'm sorry, and I pray for them to repent. Instead of doing with Jesus, watch what he is doing with you. And the truth remains, this is still the place where you encounter God. This is where you encounter him in word and sacrament. And it's amazing because instead of always trying to figure out what to do with Jesus, he's the one who meets you here and says, I will do something remarkable with you. I will forgive you. I will wash you. I will redeem you. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. I will care for you. I will love you. I will feed you. I will clothe you, and I will do all of these things because I am the only one who can. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.